Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
All righty. Well, good morning. Hey, welcome to Life Group Sunday. I don't know about you, but if in my life I just want Caleb Nilo to make sound effects for me, right? Fun stuff. So, hey, if we can turn the lights back on, we're going to jump into our series. And I do want to remind you, though, Life Group Sunday is here. So we have Life Group booths out there. So if you are not a part of a Life Group, we want to challenge you to jump in. There's different things that you can jump into, and you can check those out at the end of service. And you can sign up in two ways. You can actually drop the card off in one of the baskets on the tables out there. Or if you already know, you can sign up and you can rip the bottom here and turn the card in the offering basket at the end of service. So just a quick reminder about that. But today we're jumping back into our sermon series entitled Jesus Said. And what we've been doing is we've been looking at the things that Jesus said. Jesus said some amazing things. He said some incredible things. He used his words better than anybody else did because he understood the power of words. He understood that words change lives. Words can change our lives, and Jesus' words can change our lives. And we started off this series on Easter, and we talked about the powerful words that it is finished. And we talked about how when Jesus said it's finished, it wasn't just his life, but what was finished was our separation from God. Right? Jesus used his words in an incredible way. He even talked about how when we follow him that we have to go all in and told us to keep our hand to the plow. And then last week we heard the hard words of poking your eye out. We're getting to the source. If we have struggles, if we have issues in life, guess what? We've got to get to the source. We go to the heart, right? This is what Jesus said. He had some powerful words because he knew that words change lives. He used his words with such precision. He used his words with care. And it's important to us to understand what Jesus said. It's important for us to dig in and to listen to what Jesus said. It's important for us to study what Jesus said. And not only that, but to apply it to our lives. Because Jesus spoke life. You look at his words. He used his words to heal people. He used his words to cast out demons. He used his words to set people free. He used his words to teach. He even used his words to bring the dead to life. He said some incredible things. And he said some pretty unreal things as well. He said some things that were really hard to take. And we're like, ooh, that's tough, right? But he also said some things that were almost too good to be true. He said some things that were almost too good to actually be true. But the truth is, Jesus always spoke the truth. Think about it for a moment. Anybody ever experienced a too good to be true moment in your life? Right? You've had that salesperson that's come to your door. They shared something with you. They brought a vacuum cleaner because it's going to revolutionize the vacuum world. And you're thinking, like, I could care less about the vacuum world anyways. But they're telling you how great this is going to be, right? This product literally sucks, right? But they're telling you this, right? We've experienced that. Again, if you stayed up late at night and you watch TV, or if you've been midday and watch TV, you've seen the classic infomercials, right? Infomercials are great for the over-promise and under-deliver. You look at them and you're like, man, that thing is incredible. They can, like, just kind of linger you in, and all of a sudden you're like, I'm hooked. I never knew I needed that extender to something I don't have, but now I need it. And that's not it, right? There's still the too good to be true moment but wait, there's more. If you order now, you'll get two for the price of one. Let me just tell you this. There's a reason they're giving you two for the price of one. The first one is going to break, right? The first one is going to break. They're exaggerating on it. It's too good to be true. And there's times we probably even said things that were too good to be true. We've probably exaggerated some of our stories to make them funnier. I don't know if I've ever done that or not, but you might have exaggerated something to get your point across, right? But the truth is, Jesus always spoke the truth. And this is why sometimes his words were hard to take. This is why his words were hard to realize and really hard to live out. He said some words that were tough, and he said some words that were almost too good to be true. And what we're going to look at today is we're going to look at the words that Jesus told us. He told us, do not worry. Do not worry. Now, those are some tough words to hear. They almost sound too good to be true because chances are some of us in this room are probably worriers. Let's just be honest for a moment. Do we have any worriers in the house, Right, this is good. I was worried, because I'm a worrier, that nobody would raise their hand and then this lesson would fall on mute ears. I'm like, oh, no, but we are some worriers. A lot of times we worry, right? I think we make up scenarios in our head. It's not that you're like a worst case type of person. You're not even necessarily a negative person, but you know that there's things that could happen and you just think about them, right? So you worry about it, right? We have some worriers in here. And hopefully this sermon will speak to you, right? Because I think there's times we make up things in our head. And oftentimes I think we worry about things that have no merit in our life. But it's a real part of life because it's who we are. And this is why Jesus tells us, he says, do not worry. But these words sound too good to be true. They're almost hard to grasp, right? Now, I have a worrying side to me as well. Like, I'm a pretty positive guy. Hopefully, if you've hung around me a little bit, you think that I'm a positive guy. I like to encourage others. I like to dream big. I like to dream big with others. But I also have a worrying side of me. Like, there's some times where I can let my mind wander, and I think about some pretty messed up stuff in my head. Like, when I lay down to sleep, there's some times where we all think worst-case scenarios. Like, man, what if something happens to my kids? What if somebody steals my kids? What if my wife gets sick, and then I have to learn how to, like, take the kids on? And, like, a few single parents are just incredible. First of all, let me just, like, give you props, because I can hardly get a calendar put together. Like, so one of my worries is if, like, something happens to my wife, what would happen to our calendar? We would miss everything, right? I have these crazy scenarios that go through my head. I think, like, man, what if a tornado hits our house and just takes our house with it? Or what if an earthquake hits? Again, we live in Ohio, so there hasn't been an earthquake since I've lived here. But what if an earthquake would hit and my house would fall in the middle of the gap and just be sunk into the world? Like, what would happen, right? I think of these things. I think about, like, what would happen if we would lose the job? What if I couldn't support my family? I have these crazy scenarios that I sometimes go. And I used to actually struggle with this pretty bad. I remember when Berkeley was first born, there's a lot of adjustments when you have a kid that comes in. And one of these adjustments was the fact that, okay, I'm supposed to take care of this little girl. Like, how am I supposed to do that? Like, this is intense. So I actually worried about, like, what if I forgot her something? We did some crazy things as parents. Don't get me wrong. We're not perfect. But I had these things, like, what if I forgot her somewhere? I had these just completely just irrational thoughts because my mindset was a little bit out of whack. I let my mind play games with me. I mean, I can be a worrier sometimes, and it can drive me nuts. And I think we all do this. I think for many of us, really, this is a way of life. We've let this become a way of life. It's almost become normal. And the truth is, it's because our perspectives are sometimes off. Sometimes I think we let our perspectives kind of get all out of alignment, and our perspectives come off, so we end up worrying. Kind of think about it like animals on a bike path. I don't know about you, but I like to run on a bike path or ride my bike on a bike path, and we have a bike path right behind our house. So I'll go out there, and I've seen all sorts of animals. I've seen obviously rabbits. I've seen chipmunks. I've seen deer. I saw a turtle once. I've seen all these different animals. And what's funny is, though, when they see these animals, their reaction is all the same. Their reaction is to scurry away as fast as they can. Their reaction is to run away, hop away, get away, however they can. Now, listen, the turtle was not too successful at it. I'll just tell you that. I had actually tucked back in the shell and hid for a little bit, and I'm like, it was in my way. It was a big turtle, so I actually had to move it out of the way. I was just going to make a sweet ramp for somebody's bike. But these animals, they try to get out of the way as fast as they can. Now, again, my intention is to not hurt these animals, right? In fact, I love seeing these animals. It's a part of nature. It actually, for me, getting out there, seeing these animals, being in nature, it makes me feel like I'm closer to God. So I love this. I'm mesmerized by these animals. I'm looking at them, but they think that I'm there to hurt them. They have this irrational fear thinking that I'm going to do something to them, so they scurry away. In fact, there was one time there was a baby deer fawn there that was running, and on the bike path there's a fence that divides the bike path and the railroad track. So on this fence, it stands probably about 5.5 feet tall, and this baby deer was there, and I'm riding along, and I see this deer, and it looks back at me, and it starts to go left into the fence. And it's trying to get away as fast as it can, but it keeps going into the fence. Now, it's not big enough to jump over the fence, so what it does, out of panic, it just keeps hitting the fence. Like, it's running, doof, doof, like, well, that's my best deer impression, right? But this is what it did. It probably did this, like, 6 or 7 times. I'm looking, I'm like, why? So eventually, I stopped my bike just to get it some space, and it keeps hitting the fence. Finally, eventually, it realizes that it can turn right and actually go into the woods. But why? It was doing this. It was doing this irrational running into this fence because its perspective was off. It had this fear of me, a fear that it wasn't warranted, wasn't merited at all. And I think the truth is, I think there's some things that we fear that messes up our perspective. There's some things in our life that are so irrational that causes us to keep bumping into a fence. We have some irrational fears that cause us to jump into a wall, and it keeps us from moving forward. Listen, there's things we do that we worry about that we have no business worrying about, and it causes us to run into a wall. We may overthink the tone of that email. We may overthink the tone of that text message and thinking like, man, that relationship's ruined. That relationship's severed. And we just continue to jump and we run into the wall in our relationships because we overthink these things, right? We may get a wart on our hand and we think it's the end of our life, right? We may get a pimple and we're like, oh no, you know what? It's a tumor. I'm done for, right? We get the cough and all of a sudden it's a regular cold, but we think it's like the black lung, we're going to die. And it's an irrational way of thinking, and we run into a wall in our physical lives. We have these walls that we run to. There's different, even emotionally, we might hold on to something from our past, thinking like, oh, we did this in third grade. How is God ever going to forgive me of that? And we hold on to it, and we keep running into a wall because of these irrational thoughts, because our perspective is a little bit off. Listen, it happens. I think for many of us, we worry about things. But Jesus says, do not worry. And he says in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. So if you have your Bibles, go with me to Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. And as always, if you don't have a Bible, I challenge you to download the YouVersion Bible app. Just an incredible resource to take with you wherever you go. You could put it on your phone, you put it on your tablet. But listen, we want you to read your Bible every single day, not just on a Sunday morning, but read it every single day. And so much so, if you follow us on social media, we actually put plans out there that you can download on your YouVersion Bible app and you can read along with us as well. But in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is teaching here, and he's preaching from his most famous sermon. In fact, there's a lot of lessons we can get from this most famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. Part of it is the Beatitudes, and the men's group is actually going to be jumping in and learning about the Beatitudes. So if you're a man, I challenge you to jump in that group on a Saturday morning. It's one of our life groups. But Jesus is teaching what he's doing in the Sermon on the Mount. He's going over all these areas of life. He's laying it all out. And he takes some time and he addresses worry. He addresses our idea and perspective of what we're doing here. It says this in Matthew 6, 25 through 34. It says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For pagans ran after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Jesus is saying, do not worry. He's saying, don't lose perspective. Don't lose perspective about your life. Don't lose perspective about your needs. Don't lose perspective about your wants, right? Don't lose perspective and don't worry. And he's saying this because of this. He wants us to remember. He wants us to understand. He wants us to know that God is still in control. God's in control no matter what. God's our maker, he's our provider, he's our designer, and he's always in control. He's in control no matter what. He's in control no matter where. He's in control no matter when, no matter who, no matter why, no matter what's happening. God is still in control. So we can only do what we can do, but God has got the rest. God has the rest. See, Jesus knew this. Jesus understood this, and this is what he's telling us, saying, don't lose perspective of that. Don't lose perspective that God has this taken care of. God is still in control. Even though you may feel like you're out of control, God is still in control. And he's saying, don't worry. And here's what we can gather from the statement. Here's really what we can take away. Do all you can today and trust God with tomorrow. Do all you can today and trust God with tomorrow. Again, when Jesus is saying this, he's not telling us to become lazy. right? He's not telling us just to give up. He's not telling us to become slothful and careless. Right? He's not telling us just to hem-haw around and do nothing, right? He's not saying that when your kids come home or if they don't come home at night, that you shouldn't worry about them, that you shouldn't care for them, that you shouldn't be concerned about them, right? If they're not calling, he's telling you that, you know, you still have to have some concern for certain things. He's not telling us to become careless. He's looking at the big picture here. He's not telling us that we don't need to be prepared for life. He's telling us to have perspective. And he's telling us, you know what, there's some God things. There's some things that only God can do, so we need to let God do those. Do all you can today and trust God with tomorrow. Do all you can today with the different abilities that God's given you. Do all you can today while trusting fully in him with the things that he's given us, right? Do all the things we can in the meantime. And listen, God's given us each gifts. God's given us each talents. God's given us each abilities, and he wants us to use them, and he wants us to use them for today. He's entrusted us with some things in our lives, and we need to be good stewards of those. But at the same time, there's some things that we need to entrust back to him. And this is what Jesus is saying. He's saying, do all you can, right? Don't become lazy. Don't become careless. Do all you can today, but trust God with tomorrow. And the second part of this is something somebody needs to hear today. For some of us, we just need to relax. For some of us, we need to take a chill pill, and we literally need to relax. Take care of what God's allowed you to take care of, and only what he's given you to take care of. No more. Allow God to be God. Allow God to do what only God can do. Listen, some of you need to hear this. You need to relax and let God be God. Guess what? That email, text message, that's not the end of the relationship. And if it is, God's got it. God's already on it. God's already got it taken care of. Listen, that wart is not a sign that you're going to die. And if it is, God's already got it. That pimple is not a tumor. But God's got it if it is, right? Listen, that cough is not the end of your life, but God's already got it. That thing you did in the past, God's already got that. It's not yours to take care of. That sin, that thing that you're holding on to from the past, guess what? It's not yours to redeem. You never could redeem it anyways. But God's already got it. He already did it through his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, God's got that. There's some things in our life that we were never meant to handle. Truth is, there's some God's got this moment, so we just need to let him have it. We need to give it over to him. I think too many times we try to jump on those things, right? We try to take care of tomorrow when all God is ever asking for us is to take care of today. And this is where worry stems from. This is really what worry is. It's taking responsibility for things that you were never intended to handle. It's taking authority over things that we have no right to take authority over. Right? There's parts of our future that only God has the authority over. There's parts of our future that only God has the responsibility of. There's parts of our children's future that only God has the authority over. And when we meddle in those areas, the only result for us is worry. Listen, let God be God. Stop worrying. Author and pastor Tim Keller says it this way. He says, worrying is saying, I know the way my life is supposed to go, and God's not getting it right. Listen, I don't want to tell God that he's not getting it right. I don't want to be in opposition of God. Because the result of opposing God gets you absolutely nowhere. In fact, this is why Jesus said this in verse 27. He says, can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Jesus knew that worry adds no value to our lives. It has no value. The only thing it can add is pain. The only thing it can add is stress. The only thing it can add is sleeplessness, which causes a poor performance in work, school, wherever you have, right? The only thing it can add is health issues. It can cause ulcers. It causes us depression, anxiety. Listen, the only thing it can add is these things. And for many of us, we've probably even experienced these things. We've experienced these things because of worry. We've experienced these things because we're trying to take on something that was never meant to be ours. And Jesus doesn't want us to live this kind of life. This isn't the life we created for. This is why he says, do not worry. But instead, do all you can today and trust God with tomorrow. And here's how we do that. Here's how we overcome worry in our life. Here's how we deal with it. Here's how we live by doing everything we can today and trusting God with tomorrow. What we have to do is we have to be present. In our lives, we have to be present. Because worry robs us of the gift of now. Worry robs us of the gift of now. And we all have the gift of now. We all have this moment. But when we worry, it robs us of that gift. Listen, if all we can think about is the past, then we're plagued by what might have been. We're plagued by the coulda, shoulda, wouldas. I think many of us, we're playing in that game. That's the realm we're living in, the coulda, shoulda, wouldas. And God doesn't want us there. God wants us to be present. So be present. When all we think about the future is we get wrapped up and we're plagued by the uncertainties, right? And God doesn't want us to live in the uncertainty. He wants us to live in the present. So be present. We all have this incredible gift of now. So be present. Think about it. Are you present right now? Are you present? Or are you dwelling on something from the past? Are you present? Or are you preoccupied with something to come? Are you preoccupied with the future? So be present. To overcome worry, we have to be present. To trust God with tomorrow, we have to be present. To do only what we can do today, we have to be present. And for some of us, this means that we have to intentionally reduce some of our distractions. For some of us, this means we have to turn off our devices. We turn off our cell phones. We turn off our tablets. We turn off, right? For some of us, this means we turn off some of the notifications on our phone or our tablet, right? We need to be present, right? Do it. Whatever it means, do it. For some of us, this means we have to slow down. We have to slow down. We have to identify the moment. We have to identify what the present looks like. Listen, instead of living such a fast-paced life, maybe for you, you need to take a break. Instead of just trying to get tasks done, maybe you need to take a break. Take a break. Spend it with your wife. Spend it with your husband. Spend it with your kids. Spend it with your pets. Go take them for a walk. Spend it with your friends, whatever it is. Take a break and enjoy life a little. Listen, some of you need permission to enjoy life. Go and enjoy life. Be present. Have some fun. Enjoy nature. Enjoy surroundings. Whatever it is, take some time and be present. Listen, this past Tuesday was a rare stay-at-home night for our family. Usually, we're always on the go in the evenings. But this Tuesday, we had nothing on the calendar, so we're like, hey, we're going to go ahead and just stay at home. So for me, I'm thinking, like, this is a great opportunity to get a bunch of stuff done. Like, our house literally looks like a disaster sometimes. I mean, if a robber would come in there, they'd probably look and be like, oh, they've already got hit. We're out, right? So that's what it would kind of look like on a Tuesday night. So I'm thinking, like, this would be a great opportunity. We can clean house, and I can do a little bit of laundry. And the laundry thing is actually kind of new for me. Like 2018 is like, it's a step up year for me. I'm taking some big strides. Never done laundry at all in my life. In fact, in college, I paid people to do laundry for me. My parents did laundry for me. I'd take it home and call, like, never did it. But 2018, it's a new year. So I've been doing laundry, stepping up my game a little bit. My wife's happy about it. But I'm kind of like, I get task oriented. So when there's something that I need to do, I just kind of get focused in on it. So Tuesday night, I was doing laundry, and I'm getting it. I had it folded, and I'm taking it upstairs. I'm going to put the laundry away, have the laundry basket there. And then I see my son in the other room. He looks up. He's like, Dad, will you play a game with me? I'm thinking, oh, okay. And there's the game Trouble. He's like, will you play Trouble with me? I'm thinking, oh. And I really, at that moment, I wanted to say, you know what, buddy? I'll be there in just a minute. And thinking and hoping that he's going to forget about it, and then I'd be able to go put more laundry away, right? It's really what's going through my head. And I look at him, and he's like, Dad, can you play Trouble with me with the real rules, too? Because he knows that sometimes I change the rules enough to make the game go a little bit faster, but he's like, I'm like, the real rules. So I'm like, all right. So I put the laundry down, and then Griffin and I begin to play. We begin to play Trouble, and in that moment, I wasn't worried about anything. While I'm playing that game, I wasn't worried about the laundry. I wasn't worried that the house still kind of looked like a wreck. I wasn't worried about the list of things that I had to do. I wasn't worried about all these stresses. I wasn't even worried by the fact that I was getting beat legitimately by a five-year-old at the board game Trouble, right? I wasn't worried about these. But I was having fun because I was present. Listen, be present in your life. Be okay with not knowing what's going to happen next. Be present. And then also be pursuant. In our worries, we can either chase after what we think is the answer, or we can chase after God. And we need to be pursuant of God in our troubles. We need to be pursuant of God in our fears. We need to be pursuant of God in our irrational thoughts. Let me ask you, are you chasing after God in that area of life? Are you living a life that's chasing and following after His direction? What are you pursuing? Are you pursuing God? To overcome worry, to overcome irrational fear, we have to pursue Him. Jesus said it this way in verse 33. He said, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. See, Jesus knew that by nature, we worry. He knew that that was an action. He knew that we had these irrational fears. So what He does is He gives us a counteraction. He gives us a counterpart to it. And that counterpart is seeking after God. Jesus is telling us to be pursuant of God. Seek first his kingdom. Seek first his righteousness. And if you do, everything else will fall into place. So are you pursuant of God? What are your priorities? Do your priorities show that you're chasing after God in all areas of your life, even the struggles, right? What happens is I think too many times we elevate our physical needs over our spiritual needs. Too many times we elevate our financial needs over our spiritual needs. Too many times we elevate our relational needs over our spiritual needs. And what happens is we gain this lack of perspective when we do that because we're chasing the wrong stuff. We're looking for answers in the wrong places. And we end up focusing in on the wrong things. We end up focusing in on things that we were never meant to control. When we should focus on God. When we should seek after his kingdom and his righteousness. Because when we don't, what we're left with is we're left with worry. So today I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you, stop trusting the provision and start trusting the provider. Stop chasing after the gift and start chasing after the giver. Pursue after him. For some of you, maybe this week, that means you need to realign. You need to realign your priorities. You need to realign your life to pursue after him. So I want to challenge you, look at your calendar. In your calendar, what does it say that you're pursuing? If you look at your calendar, does it show that you're pursuing after Jesus? Has Jesus made your calendar yet? Right? Have you made some time in your calendar to schedule some time for prayer time? Have you made some time in your calendar to schedule some time to read the Bible? Listen, a few years back, I actually put this on my calendar. Now, I'm kind of OCD, so on my Google Calendar, your item comes up blue, and then when I've done it, I change it and I move it to red. So for me, it's a reminder every time, if something's still blue, it means I didn't do it. And for me, it's hard sometimes to finish out the day with that blue reminder saying, you know what, you didn't do it. Now, again, it's a little bit task-oriented, but there's something about it. Right, when you put it on your calendar, you're making time for it. You're making a priority. You're pursuing after God. And listen, I'm not perfect, but because of that, I become consistent. Do you schedule Jesus in your calendar? Do you schedule life groups in your calendar? Again, we're getting ready to start. In life groups, we do here to intentionally help you grow closer to God. They're relationships designed to help you grow closer to God. Are you putting that in your calendar? Are you making time for it? Are you pursuing that? And we have handouts here. You can sign up today. I challenge you to pursue after God by signing up for a life group. Hey, just do it. Pursue after God. Are you pursuing God, and does your calendar prove it? Also, I want to challenge you to look at your bank account. What does your bank account show you that you're pursuing? Does it show you that you're pursuing God? Look at your social media pages. What's your social media pages? What's your Facebook? What's your Instagram? What's it show? What's it saying that you're pursuing? Are you bragging on God? Are you sharing things about him? Are you inviting others to experience him? Or what are you inviting them to? What does it show that you're pursuing? Be pursuant of God. And then finally, be prayerful. Be prayerful. To overcome worry, be prayerful. There's an old Sunday school song. It says, why worry when you can pray? Trust Jesus. He'll be your stay. Don't be a doubting Thomas. Just rest upon his promise. Why worry, worry, worry when you can pray? Some powerful words in those old Sunday school lessons. There's some powerful words in those old Sunday school songs. And sometimes I think kids get it more than we do. Sometimes we need to change our perspective and just go back in the mindset of kid and chase after God, be pursuant of him, and then be prayerful as well. Get back to the basics. Be prayerful. Our prayers are what prepare us before God to lift our worry away. Our prayers are what communicate our heart to his heart. So we need to be prayerful. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Pray. Be prayerful. And all prayer is talking with God. It's sharing with him. It's petitioning him. It's asking him. It's asking him for our needs, for our desires. And it's showing him our needs. It's showing him what we want. And then it's also showing him gratefulness for all that he's given and all that he's going to do. And I love verse 7. Verse 7 of this passage is the result of prayer. It says, we gain the peace of God, which transcends all understanding when we pray. When we pray, we gain the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. The opposite of worry is peace. And the way to get that is through prayer. It comes through prayer. So be prayerful. Listen, I want to challenge you. If you don't know how to pray, you don't really spend some time in prayer, I want to challenge you tonight. We have prayer from 6 to 7 p.m. right here at the church. It's a great way to learn to pray. It's a great way just to carve out some time and spend with Jesus, to spend with God. Listen, we throw slides up on the slides so we can even direct you through. If you're thinking like, dude, what am I going to pray for an hour? I'm not going to know. Listen, we'll throw slides that we can guide you through prayer. You can spend time journaling, reading, but spend an hour in the presence of God. There's even childcare. So if you want peace, we have childcare for you, right? So we challenge you to come from 6 to 7 tonight. And I promise you this, if you are first time at prayer, we will not call you out to pray out loud. So just want to throw that out there. We challenge you to come to prayer. And one of the best ways to learn to pray is to be around others, to be around others that pray. So I want to challenge you to join us tonight and be prayerful. Be present, be pursuing of God, and be prayerful. I think a lot of times we have our perspective is off. But when we become present, what we're doing is we're putting our perspective back on base. We're lining things back on. We're lining things back up. So be present. Be pursuant. Be pursuant. So what is it that you're really trusting in? What is it that you're really chasing after? Is it God? In your worries, be pursuant of God and be prayerful. Surrender whatever worry you have. Surrender whatever irrational fear you have. Surrender it to Him and allow Him to work. And listen, it's okay. It's okay to come to God with some irrational fears. He'll meet us in that place of need. But we need to be prayerful. Jesus said, do not worry. Do all you can today and trust God with tomorrow. If you would, pull out your response card in the seat back in front of you. Maybe here today, and maybe for you, your first step is to trust God. And it's to trust God by making a commitment to follow Him. Maybe here today, and maybe you've never made that commitment to follow Him. Or maybe you did, but you walked away. Listen, I don't want you to leave here without the opportunity. I want to give you the opportunity to make Jesus your Savior and to follow Him completely. If that's you, on that box, on that card, there's a box that says, I want to make a commitment to follow Jesus. If that's you, I want you to checkmark that box. Checkmark that box and then believe that God gave His Son to die on a cross for you. That God gave His Son to pay the penalty for our sins. God gave His Son to be resurrected, to give us new life, to be connected with Him. If that's you, checkmark that box. Maybe here today, maybe God's asking you to do something. Maybe God's asking you to be present. Maybe God's asking you to slow down in your life, remove some distractions, whatever it is, write down. Maybe God's asking you to be pursuant. Maybe you've been chasing after things. Maybe you've been chasing after your own ways and your worry and your fears, but it's time to chase after God. Listen, be pursuant and write that down, and then be prayerful. Maybe there's some things that you just need to bring back to God. If you would, take this moment to respond and also take this moment to get any tithes or offerings. And in just a moment, I'll invite the ushers up where they'll collect your response cards and your life group handouts and any tithes or offerings. Dearly Father, God, we thank You right now. God, we thank You for speaking to us. God, we thank You for this opportunity to respond. And God, I pray that it's more than words on a paper, God, but it's a change in our hearts, a change in our lives, a change to have a growing relationship with You. And God, we just thank You for this time too, to be a steward of what You've entrusted us with, to be a steward of our finances. And God, I pray that as we give back, God, what You've entrusted us, God, that it's used and multiplied. It's multiplied so that others experience You. And right now we use this as an act of worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you are here today and you are listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.mylifechangedchurch.com and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information and let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.